unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Much of Jesus' earthly ministry was conducted in northern Galilee, especially around a city by the name of Capernaum. Jesus performed many remarkable miracles in and around that city, and those miracles gave hope to a man named Jairus, who lived there. At this time, Jairus was facing one of the most desperate moments of his life. He was a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. A synagogue was a Jewish place of worship. And so this being the ruler of this synagogue means that Jairus was a man who was highly regarded in the Jewish community there. Jairus had one daughter who was 12 years old. And my guess would be that she was a daddy's girl, and she most certainly held a very special place in his heart. He wanted to be her Superman, just the way every father does. To the fathers that are willing to stay up late or get up early in order to provide and protect their children. I'll never forget when my firstborn child, Jacob, was born. And the first night, we were there in the hospital room, and my wife was sleeping, and Jacob was back in the nursery with the nurses for a little while, and so I laid down to take a nap too. Somewhere during the course of the night, though, I awoke, and as I looked at the cot where I was lying, there were all kinds of different items in the bed with me, a hairbrush and ketchup packets and just odds and end things. And I was so confused. And I sat up and I looked over at my wife and I said, "What's going on here?" And she said, "Well, Jacob is here and he's crying. He needs his diaper changed and I couldn't get up out of bed. I've been throwing things at you trying to get you awake." Well, when my second child, Sarah, was born, I don't know that I slept at all during the time that we were in the hospital because I was so afraid I would do that again. Daddies want to take care of their children. They'll do everything within their power because they are their little princesses. Every parent melts the moment he or she feels the full force of parenthood. The semi-truck of parenting comes loaded with fears. We fear that we'll fail the child, that we'll forget the child. Will we have enough money? Will we have the answers? Will we have enough diapers? Will we have enough space at home? What about vaccinations? What about education? What about homework? It's enough to keep a parent awake at night. And where do we turn when we fear that everything that we may do still will not be enough? This is the lesson that we can learn from Jairus. He was one of those parents who was facing a moment where, as a father, he had done everything within his power he could do for his daughter, and it still was not enough. He was at the end of his rope, and at the end of that rope, he turned to Jesus, and so should we. And so today, we're going to study about a father who prayed for a miracle. In Luke chapter 8, verses 41 and 42, we read about Jairus' desperation. The Bible says, "And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And as Jesus went, the people pressed around him." You can get a sense for Jairus' plight. He is facing perhaps the greatest moment of despair in his life. He is distressed by the illness of his daughter, which would be distressing for anyone. But the magnitude of Jairus' situation is heightened by several things. First of all, this illness affected his only daughter. And I believe it is safe to assume that she, being his only daughter, was a daddy's girl. She likely had her father in her hip pocket, and my guess would be that he would not have it any other way. I can picture her following him to work. I can picture them picking flowers together to bring home to Mom. I can picture them drawing pictures and playing hide and seek. But furthermore, she was only 12 years old. As we would say it, she was still in braces and pigtails. She still had so much life to live. She brought so much joy to this family. You can just picture Jairus and his daughter. You can see him carrying her on his shoulders. You can see him there, a grown, respected ruler of the synagogue, playing with dolls because she asked him to. I can see them playing games together. I can see him letting her win. I can hear them singing songs together. I can see her falling asleep in his arms. Can't you hear him telling her, "I love you," to the moon and back? I bet she was the life of the party. I bet she stood on his feet and they danced together. I bet she pretended she was his princess. She was his princess. But his princess was dying. Perhaps she came home one day with fever and irritable. Perhaps her mother put her to bed, thinking it would pass. But during the night, the fever rose. The next morning, doctors came, but they were puzzled. They could not pinpoint the problem. They could not help her. No matter what they did, she got sicker and sicker. Jairus had never known such helplessness. His emotions must have been a mighty river, and the dam was about to crack. No parent can sit still while his child suffers like this. And I am sure that Jairus prayed and prayed. I am sure that he tearfully begged God to spare her. He might have said, "It's not fair, she's so young." He might have offered to change places with her. "God, take me instead." As parents, isn't this what any one of us would do? Isn't this what we do now when our children have needs? We are their loyal advocates. We are their stubborn intercessors to pour out our hearts before God and lift up our hands toward him for the lives of our young children, Lamentations 2:19. Jairus did what any parent would do in a time like that. But then he also brought his parenting fears to Christ. We all must learn to do this. If we don't, we'll likely take out our fears on our kids. Fear turns some parents into paranoid prison guards who monitor every minute, who check the background report of every friend, and who, by that environment, stifle growth and communicate distrust. A family with no breathing room will suffocate a child. But then, on the other hand, fear causes some to become permissive parents. And for fear that their child will feel too confined or fenced in, they lower all boundaries. They're high on hugs and low on discipline. They don't realize that appropriate, balanced discipline is an expression of love. Permissive parents on one hand, paranoid parents on the other hand. How do we avoid these extremes? We pray. One author said that prayer is the saucer into which parental fears are poured to cool. This is what I believe Jairus would have done. But in spite of the most fervent prayers that Jairus had probably ever prayed in his life, there was no hope for her recovery. She would not be able to survive this disease. and her death was imminent. These factors make it abundantly clear that no human could help this child, no other human. And after considering these facts, Jairus did the only thing that could be done. He came to Jesus. The text tells us he came to Jesus and he fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. This was quite a step for Jairus. The Bible tells us that Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. That made him an important man. The kind of man that people came to with their questions. The kind of man who was asked to lead prayers at public functions. The kind of man that people went to for advice in the most difficult times of life. One wonders how many people had faced times like this and come to Jairus for advice to how to deal with it. He was in charge of the place of worship in Capernaum. He supervised all matters that took place there. He chose who was invited to read scriptures and address the people. He was favored by the people, as indicated by the fact that this was a position that he was elected to. He was a man of authority who ran the financial affairs of the synagogue and even had power to excommunicate people or order scourging. The synagogue at Jerusalem had disfellowshipped people who were believers in Christ. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." The reason I quote that particular verse is it indicates the position Jairus was in when he came to Jesus. But Jairus loved his daughter more than he loved the praise of men. And he was willing to give Jesus a chance. In spite of the label that people might put on Jairus, he comes to Jesus for help. Perhaps he had heard neighbors, fellow synagogue members, talking about this traveling preacher from Nazareth. Perhaps he at one time had scoffed at the idea that Jesus could do the things that people were saying. But that was before his daughter became ill. And that was before the doctors told him that she would die. And his heart sank. Now he has nowhere else to turn. And he may be giving up his place as the ruler of the synagogue. He may not even be welcome in the synagogue anymore. But despite his power and his popularity, Jairus humbly recognized Christ to be greater than he. He fell down at his feet and begged him earnestly, "Please come to my house." No matter how important Jairus was, this was a time when his need was so desperate that there was just simply no room for pride. Jairus isn't the only parent to run onto the pages of the gospel on behalf of a child. There was a mother in the hills of Canaan who came and cried, "My daughter is cruelly afflicted with an evil spirit," Matthew 15:22. We read about the father of a boy tormented by seizures and fits who sought Jesus for help in Mark 9:24. That mother from Canaan, the father of that epileptic boy, and Jairus all found one thing to be consistent. They found that Jesus could help a parent who is struggling to take care of his child. In each case, Jesus responded. He never turned any one of them away. But then as we turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 22 through 34, we learn something about Jairus' patience. There, the Bible says that as they were going on their way to Jairus' house, that a great crowd followed him and thronged him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, but was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd is pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." When Jairus came to Jesus, he requested that they depart immediately because his daughter was at the point of death. And Jesus could see the concern in this parent's heart. And, it wasn't a great stretch that Jesus would be concerned about her. Jairus' daughter belonged to Jesus before she belonged to Jairus. Children are a gift from God, Psalm 127, verse 3 says. They were his before they were ours. And even as they are ours, they are still his. And we must never forget that. Jesus knows how urgent the need is, and immediately they began to make their way to Jairus' home. But on their way, a woman with an issue of blood touched Jesus and was healed. It must have been hard enough for Jairus, as the multitudes were thronging around Jesus and slowing down their progress toward his home. But then when Jesus actually stopped to listen closely to this woman's story and then to encourage her, Jairus must have been frantic. He must have been wanting to hurry this thing along so that they could get home to his daughter. We can only imagine his agony when Jesus delayed to speak with the woman who had been healed, as he waited for her to answer. Didn't Jesus realize how urgent his mission was? How could the Lord dawdle when Jairus' little girl was dying? This lady had lived with this issue of blood for 12 years. Couldn't her healing wait just a few more hours? And then, as soon as Jesus finished speaking with the woman, word arrived. Bad news that Jairus had not been wanted. But Jairus did not lose faith when his remedy was delayed. His delay is explained when he went home and brought the girl who had died back to life. By waiting for the worst to happen, Jesus brought even greater joy to Jairus and offered greater proof of his power. But of course, Jairus didn't know that at the time. While they're standing there waiting for this woman to answer, and while they're standing there talking to her and listening to her story, Jairus didn't have all of that information. And oh, how it must have been painful to wait. Still, in spite of his lack of information, he doesn't seem to fear, but continues to follow the Lord and trust the Lord. And we too must learn to have patience when waiting for God to answer our pleas. Those who wait on the Lord will not be ashamed, but they will continue to gain strength and deeper trust in Him. In Psalm 25, verse 3, the Bible says, "Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous." There may be something that you've been praying about, pertaining to your family or yourself or any other thing. And it doesn't seem that your answer is coming as quickly as you would like for it to. It may at times feel like there's no answer coming at all. But I can assure you that Jesus has heard your prayer, that he knows how urgent your need is, and that He is moving in the direction of the answer that is best for you. That answer might be different than the one you expect, but it will come, and it will bless you. It can be difficult to be patient. I would be the first to admit that that's an area where I need to grow. But like Jairus, there is a need to trust that the Lord knows what He's doing, and He will act accordingly. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But then finally, let's talk about Jairus' trust. Jairus trusted the Lord. In Luke 8, beginning in verse 49, the Bible says, "While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore.' But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, 'Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well.' And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter in with him, except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but he said, 'Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping.' They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened." Trust is defined as belief in the honesty and the reliability of another. And Jairus' trust is seen and is contrasted with others in this story. Consider those who brought the bad news to Jairus. They said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the master." They assumed that death limited Jesus' power and that Jesus would not be bothered with Jairus' suffering any longer. They believed there was nothing that Jesus could do. They did not trust, as Jairus did, that Christ does care for us and feels with us in our pain, and that he can do something about it. And then consider the mourners at Jairus' home. They wept and they wailed loudly. They were probably professional mourners. This kind of thing happened a lot back then, where women were hired to come and accompany a family during a funeral procession and loudly bewail the loss. But when Jesus announced that the little girl was not dead but sleeping, you see how quickly their mourning turned to laughter, and they began to scorn Jesus. Their attitude may reflect how shallow their sympathy really was to begin with. And it certainly reflects their lack of trust in the power of Jesus. Instead, Jairus accompanied Jesus to her room and did what he was told to do. He had nothing to lose. He was at rock bottom, and his faith calmed his fears and gave him hope. Jesus could still help his daughter. And his trust was rewarded with the one thing that his heart desired more than anything else. Jesus took her by the hand and then called, literally, "Princess." The words spoken softly, he tells her, "Arise." Can't you picture her head turning as she heard Jesus' voice? Can't you see her leaning forward and then sitting upright in the bed, opening her eyes, putting her bare feet on the floor, and then standing? You can picture her parents as they dart toward her and embrace her tightly. They must have held her for what seemed like an eternity. It almost seemed too good to be true, but it was. It was true. "Get her some food," Jesus said. This was no trick. She was back, and she was back to stay. God has a heart for hurting parents, and this is not surprising to us. God is himself a father, after all. What emotion has any parent felt that he has not felt? If you're separated from your child, so God has been separated from his children. Is someone mistreating your child? They mocked and they bullied his. Is someone taking advantage of your child? The Son of God was set up by false testimony and betrayed by a greedy follower. Are you forced to watch while your child suffers? God watched his son die on the cross. Do you find yourself wanting to spare your child from all the hurt that exists in this world? God did. But because of his great love, he did not spare his only son, but gave him for us all. Romans 8:32. Can you imagine how this family's lives must have changed after this moment? Don't you know that they made the most of every day they had with her? Don't you know that they were faithful followers of Jesus from that day forward? I wonder how they reacted when they learned of his death. I wonder how many others they led to him in their lifetime. We must learn to trust God and continue to obey even when we don't understand why he acts as he does. Faith in Jesus will carry us through our dark times until God acts to meet our needs. We must learn to launch out into the deep when it comes to trusting him. This miracle demonstrated Jesus' power to raise life from death. And what applies here physically also applies to the great resurrection to come. But more importantly, it applies to the spiritual death that results from sin. Each of us must come to recognize the desperate condition sin has placed us in. Sin is a disease that only Christ can heal. And we must bow down before him desperately, just as Jairus did, if we would be healed. And we must trust him, because to trust him means that we will obey him. And when we trust him, we will be willing to repent of our sin, to turn away from our sinful life so that we can live a life that will honor him and glorify him. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." But also if we trust him, we will confess him. Jesus promised that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And if we trust him, then we should be baptized in his name. As Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. And if we trust him, then we should also have the patience to be faithful to him day after day after day. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. I pray that each of us will strive to develop a faith like that of Jairus. And friend, if there's any way that we can help you, then we're urging you, please, contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my